What a fun week we have in store for you to wake up to life's possibilities in our Living Free from Divorce speaker series. Yesterday, we had our vibrations raised with Crystal Hughes as we learned about lighting up your boundaries and how not to take on others' energies to be free and claim your space in the world. Sorry for the technical difficulties we had near the end of the call. The full session is available for replays at replays.livingfreefromthepainofdivorce.com. You've been given lots of encouragement to keep you moving to create the life of your dreams and know that divorce doesn't have to define you. Life can be messy. It changes sometimes to your likings and sometimes with you pushing and screaming. It's not always easy. As you become more conscious, we're creating your energy, and at times we're creating things that we don't want because you're plugged by the negative energy. What if you could shift your thinking to knowing that you're providing just what you need to be the greatest, grandest version of you to awaken to a new way? What would it take to shift what you were intending for your life? What if you decided to step fully into your life? If you are afraid of going with the flow because you don't trust that you will get where you want to go, this causes you to cling to the plans that aren't working and obsess over relationships that aren't fulfilling or are over. What if you could relax into whatever's happening at the moment and not make it mean anything, right or wrong, and just allow it to be the observer? What do you need to make that shift? Stay in the questions. The more you bring awareness to your desires, the more energy and intention you give to your focus, the more likely you'll create the life you intended. Today, we have Tony Burrows, the King of Intentions. You'll hear all the amazing things that can happen with your life when you set it with an intention. But before we begin our session with him, let's close our eyes and take a couple of deep breaths. Sink down in your chair. Notice your thoughts and just let them pass on by. Breathe into that. Follow your breath in and out. Breathe in for a count of five, and then hold three and release for seven. Just let it go. Feel the freedom of just breathing and just allowing your breath to come in and go out. See how miraculous it is. It just happens. It is. What's your intention for our call? Breathe into whatever comes up. And come back to our call. Well, I've had the special honor to have been with Tony Burrows when he came to my hometown to share the Intender Circle with us. What a powerful space and tool it is, and I'm sure Tony's going to be sharing some about that with us. Equally adept at writing a writing pad in front of an audience, Tony is a rare storyteller who tells tales to speak to something deep within all of us. He's an avocado farmer turned self-empowerment advocate and community maker who's co-founded the world's fastest growing intentional community, the Intenders of the Highest Good. Tony's also the producer of the Intenders Process video and has written 9 books, including the Intenders Handbook, the Code, the Law of Agreement, and he has DVD sets for us. His new book is Get What You Want, The Art of Making and Manifesting Your Intentions. So welcome, Tony. How about if you share with us your journey and tell us how you were guided to this intention process?
Oh, my goodness, Dottie. It's just been a magical journey. And it started for me in terms of consciously making intentions. about 20 years ago when me and three friends were just sitting around the table on Sunday evening asking each other how we could help each other in our lives. And it was me and my girlfriend Betsy at the time and our two friends Mark and Tina. And someone mentioned the word intention, and we went and got a dictionary and looked it up. And it said that an intention was a moving toward. So we realized if we're making an intention, we're moving toward that which we desired. And so I can't really tell you how it happened. We just started putting intentions in our little circle of four, and lo and behold, over the next week or two, they were manifesting like crazy for us. And so we just kept getting together every Sunday night, the four of us. And after a short time, five more friends joined us. They heard what we were doing. And so at the end of the first year, there were nine of us who'd been doing this every Sunday evening. And then one night, 35 people showed up. And so fortunately, we had a potluck and had a lot of food, somebody took it from that circle over to the other side of the island. This was on the Big Island of Hawaii. And somebody took it to the Kona side. And somebody took it from there, started an intender circle there, and took it to the Bay Area of California. In a short time after that, I went over to the Bay Area and started giving mini talks and mini workshops and so forth, and telling people about this process that we've been having such great success with, manifesting our dreams and the things we wanted in our lives. And within a year of being there in the Bay Area, there were 17 intender circles that had started up in the Bay Area, and it flashed across the country from there. And now there's intender circles in countries all over the world, some that I'm not even quite sure where they are. But I must tell you that the four of us who started this process, we're just average everyday people who just wanted to help each other, and we're as in awe of what happened as anyone.
Wow. So give our listeners an example of something that you intended, and then I'll ask you some other questions about it so that they understand kind of how it works, and then we'll apply it to maybe what they're going through.
Sure. Well, I'll give you something sort of in the mundane realms, which is a materialistic intention. A while back, I was pulling into Redding, California with my Dodge van, and it was having some challenges. It was starting to sputter, and I just limped into a mechanic shop. The hood latch was broken, too, so I had multiple issues. And while the mechanic was tinkering with it to get me back on the road to the next event I was going to be part of, why a lady came in and she put a poster on the wall with a fancy van, a new, it wasn't new, but it was had all the bells and whistles, a small RV-like van with the TV and the fridge and the bed and all the things that I would love to have. And I thought, gosh, I'd love to have that one. And so we finished with our time there in Redding and went up to the next event, which was in Grants Pass, Oregon, in a yoga studio there. We had our intender circle. When it came my time to put my intentions in the circle, I said, well, I intend that I have a new used vehicle and that it comes to me freely, easily, and effortlessly, a new van with all the things I want in it, and that it comes to me freely, easily, and effortlessly. We took our break after the circle was over, as we usually do, and I took a walk, and a fellow followed me out the door. And he tapped me on the shoulder, and he introduced himself, and he said this to me. He said, Tony, he said, you know, I just inherited more money than I know what to do with. I'll buy you a van. And I went back to Redding and got the fancy RV.
Oh, wow, what a great example. So that will be very helpful for people to understand and how that works. And for you, it works very easily because you've been doing it for so long, and mm-hmm. There's not resistance there in regards to it. So, Tony, going through a divorce can produce a lot of negative energy. And so how would you be able to use the intention process to help move through the pain that a divorce has created to creating this life that you desire?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is a story that we learned over a period of time with our intender circles. We would have people come to our circles, and my little Intenders Handbook, the very first book that got us going on the fundamentals of intention making and manifesting, it has a statement on the back. It says, "We share our dreams instead of our dramas, Dottie." And that we've found over a period of years is the case 99% of the time, but there's a small time percentage of the time when we got somebody who's comes to a circle, and it's a smaller circle where you don't have to, you can take time with people a little bit more. And so what we'll do is if somebody starts to go into a drama of some, we'll let them do that a little bit, and we'll let them talk about it just long enough to get the gist of what's going on. And then we'll ask them a very important question after we get the feel for what's going on in their life, whether it be divorce or whether it be any kind of loss or whatsoever. And the question we'll ask them is, well, what is your intention around all of that? And sure enough, what we've seen happen over and over is they'll make an intention around whatever it was that was giving them the challenges. They come back a couple weeks later to the circle, no more drama, no more challenge, because they've made an intention and manifested for them.
What would be an example of some of the responses you get when you ask somebody what's the intention around that?
They would say, well, I intend that I am happy. I intend that I am in excellent health. I intend that I'm that this divorce situation that I've been going through that's giving me such suffering and heartache, that it's behind me now, and that I bounced back from it, and that I am completely seeing myself in my highest light. And that I'm seeing myself happy, healthy, whole, and humming with life and ready for whatever's next. That answering your question?
Absolutely, yeah. So tell us about your intended circles, and tell how people, you know, I have a feeling, Tony, some of the people on our call really don't know about affirmations or intentions, and so kind of take us back to somebody that really doesn't even know about all this and kind of talk through the process how it really works.
Well, it starts with this thing called the law of attraction, or the laws of manifestation, or the laws of precipitation, or whatever you want to call it. We call it the intention process, and which basically, in a nutshell, Dottie, is that your thoughts create your future. That's the law of attraction in a nutshell. And so we're interested in taking that piece of information that our thoughts create our future, which they could have taught us in first grade, along with Run, Spot, Run, and See Dick and Jane and all that. No, by the way, your thoughts create your world, but they didn't do that. And here we are in our lives now at a certain point going through issues and challenges and so forth, having to integrate it into our lives at this point. But that law of attraction, taking it to its highest and best use, one of the ways to do that is to use the to use intent or intention. And what we've found is that those who get up in the morning and say their prayers or their affirmations or their intentions, it really doesn't matter which one. They all work. But the main thing is for people to get up in the morning and set a direction to their day, as opposed to getting up in the morning, having a cup of Starbucks and hitting the ground running, you know, you get whatever whenever when you do that. But if you realize that there is a relationship between what you do in the morning and what happens later on in the day, why, if you make intentions in the morning and you start to see them manifest later on, and you put that two and two together and you say, oh my goodness, I made that intention that I was going to have a lot of fun and a surprise in my life and something good happening to me, and then later on that day or later on the next day that surprise comes to you, then you start to build up trust in the process and you make more intentions, and that trust then turns into a confidence, and you get confident with making intentions, and then it turns into a knowing. And after a while, you just know, like I do, that when I make an intention, it's going to manifest for me. And so the process behind it has to do with this thing called the highest good. From our point of view, we don't make any intentions unless we have what we call the world's greatest insurance policy in effect. And that one is this. We say that in order for our intentions to manifest, that they must serve the highest and best good of the universe, ourselves, and everyone everywhere. And then we say, so be it, and so it is. And for instance, if I were making my intentions in the morning, I might say, I intend that I am happy. I intend that I am in perfect health. And if I needed a new refrigerator, I'd intend a new refrigerator. Or if I needed to be free from the suffering that I'm going through as a result of a huge life change, like a divorce, I would make that intention. I would find the positive side of it. And the positive side, of course, is I intend that I am happy and healthy and that I'm totally serene and at peace with what's going on in my life and ready for whatever's next. So there are no rules to what you can think, so there's really no rules to what you can intend. And the main thing that we found out over a period of time is that is to envision the end result or picture the end result from the very beginning and make your intentions and speak throughout your day as if it whatever you're looking to create has already happened. And another way to say that is to envision only positive outcomes. And when those negative outcomes or those negative thoughts or any of that kind of stuff, that I'm not going to be okay or that I'm going to be alone the rest of my life or I'm going to, you've got to override those and come back to the positive intention and find something you really want in life, whatever you want to do next. Because one thing about suffering and the pain of divorce and so forth is that there is always a positive side to it. I mean, our adversity is meant to bring us strength. Our adversity always will strengthen us if we are open to and alert to whatever the opportunities are that are right around the corner. So one of my messages to the people who are listening out there today is to be ever alert, be vigilant for the good things that are on their way to you as a result of the divorce, because there is a certain freedom in divorce. And now that you're free from all this, sit back and take a look at that for a while and do your best to find the things that the good things that have come out of it. And at the same time, make your intentions for whatever it is you really want to come out of it all. And in many cases, people just want companionship. They want someone to hold them and keep them warm at night, or they want somebody to talk to after work, or they want somebody to share their life with on all sorts of levels. So that you can make that intention. And believe me, I've seen it happen so many times. The law of attraction does work. I am a testimonial. My life is a testimonial to that. All they need to do is make an intention around whatever it is that they're going through, and they'll start to see if they can just suspend their disbelief and realize that their thoughts do create their experience. They will see magic and miracles come to the forefront of their lives.
You know, sometimes people feel like when you say kind of like override, you know, whatever's happening because I am suffering and, you know, those kinds of things, that you're ignoring your feelings, I'm not really dealing with it, you're trying to make up stuff. How do you respond to those kinds of comments?
Well, it's not a question of ignoring feelings. Of course, a person divorce treats people differently. Some people breeze through it, and some people never bounce back. Some people don't bounce back. And I'm intending that the people who are listening out there today, it's a sign that they're listening by that they bounce back, that they're the kind of person that can bounce back from stuff like that. I would just begin to tell them to see the whole process, see themselves, and see the whole situation in its highest light, and to begin to find something that interests them, something else to put their attention on other than all of that suffering. And let's just talk about that pain or that suffering for a minute.
Are you there? Hello? Tony, are you there? Hello? Tony? Maybe he'll call back in. Okay. We're going to put you on hold for a second because I believe we lost Tony in the process. Just a second. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Tony's dropped off and he's trying another line to see if that will make it better. So I apologize and we'll be right back with you. Thank you all. Sorry, we've got Tony back here. Okay, Tony, continue about the intention process.
We were you're talking about, I was just starting to say that the Buddhists have a wondrous teaching, and that this teaching has to do with suffering and so forth, and how to eliminate suffering from our lives, and that they follow the philosophy that all suffering comes as a result of our attachment to things, and that there is a big difference between love and attachment. That attachment is holding on to something. And my first teacher, BJ, I was very fortunate to have a master back in the hills of Kona for 18 years where we were farming together, and at the same time he was passing along a body of esoteric information to me. And one of the stories he told me, he said, and you probably heard it, had to do with a person could have a bird and put it in a cage and keep it in a cage. Or it can let the bird loose from the cage, and if the bird comes back to you, then you have a beautiful thing. But if you've got to hold the bird in the cage, then sure enough, there's something that just isn't as loving about that. It's more of a controlling kind of a thing. So many relationships are based upon that. They're based upon a codependency or a need to have somebody else in your life, as opposed to truly loving someone else. And truly loving someone else lets them go. Just like letting the bird go out of the cage. And then again, if they come back to you, well, then you know you've got true love going on. But anything else is attachment. And attachment has an interesting attribute to it, in that it always keeps us somewhat separated from the oneness of the universe. In other words, we can totally be free spirits and step into a feeling of oneness with all that is. But anytime we attach ourselves to anyone anywhere, there's always an us and them, and that creates a separation. And we find that our happiest moments in life are oftentimes when we are just at one with all that is. So attachment is an interesting thing to look at, and there's a big difference between love, which is putting attention on the other person the way they want the attention put on them, and being attached to someone, which is putting the attention on the other person the way you want to put the attention on them. So many people have not really understood that, and our society, interestingly enough, is set up so that we think that we can have these contracts and that things are going to last a lifetime, and we really don't know when we make an intention how long it's going to take. We really don't know when we start a project how long it's going to last. But of course, in our marriage contracts and so forth, we go on with the idea that, oh, this is going to be for life. This is going to be for forever. And then if we find that it isn't forever, then we set ourselves up for a loss. If we believe that it's going to go on forever, if we're not flexible in our as life brings its changes to us. And life's going to bring changes to us, especially in these interesting times. And one of the things that really helped me in my life is when BJ told me this, and it was the very first teaching that he taught me years ago in Kona, and it's really spirituality 101. And what it is you're doing it to yourself. I'm doing it to me, you're doing it to you. And so many people they want to think somebody else is doing it to them. And I was watching a movie last night, Donnie. It was a great movie. I really loved it. Gwyneth Paltrow and Tim McGraw. It was called Country Strong. And there was this little girl who was a singer in the movie, and she kept singing the same song over it went like, "What do I do now that you're gone? No backup plan, no second chance, no one left to blame." And that last part, that "no one left to blame," is very interesting, because what so many people don't realize is that so much of their suffering or their pain is coming because they're still playing that blame game on some level. So somebody else is doing it to me. I'm not doing it to myself. Somebody else, you're doing it to me. You're causing me all these problems. And when they really look deep into the experiences that led them to whatever situation they're in, whether it be divorce or loss or whatever it is, they'll find that they made the decisions to put them in that situation to be where they are. Everybody's right where they're supposed to be. They made every decision in their life to get them to the exact point where they are in this instant. But some people just don't want to cop to that. And we've been taught not to cop to it. We've been taught, to, oh, yeah, somebody else is doing it to me, and there's somebody else out there that is causing the problem. And really, when we begin to intend that we are responsible, by responsible I mean really believing that I'm doing it to me instead of someone else doing it to me, and having the ability to respond as opposed to having the ability to blame, why, everything gets better for us. And I think that's at the crux of so much in terms of the suffering that goes on and the attachment that goes on. It's time for people to really take a closer look at how they got to be where they are and realize that they had a big part in it. Making sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and I think it's also so empowering because you no longer give away all your power by blaming everybody too. So I totally agree with what you're saying when we take responsibility. So Tony, yeah. Think about a day of somebody probably suffering. How would they use intentions? You mentioned getting up in the morning and how that would totally change their day. So mm-hmm. kind of on a day basis, what would be some good tools that you would tell people, you know, to really integrate these intentions and how that would work?
Well, a lot of it just has, we found, is to be open to receive. In other words, you make your intentions, and I've already showed several examples of intentions, but usually they center around, you know, I intend that I am happy, healthy, and that I am in the relationship with the person of my dreams, or it could be any intention. Again, there's no law on what you can intend. You can think what you want and intend what you want. So, you know, your intentions around things like this are you just get creative with them, and you do them to the point where you're not overdoing them. In other words, we say make your intentions once in the morning. If you're doing them all day long, then it implies that you're running some doubt, and you really need to take a look at that doubt and come to some sort of grips with it. So, and you know the doubts are the little voices in our head said, oh, no, you won't be happy. You can't be happy. What people think, you're not worthy of this. You can't afford this. You can't, you won't, on and on and on. The doubts, again, are their thoughts, and they'll work their way toward the surface of our experience like any other thought. So it's really a lot of what getting free from the suffering and pain of anything has to do with is learning to suspend those doubts and come back to the positive side of things and come back to what it is you actually really want in your life and trust that it will indeed manifest for you. Life is not over because someone gets a divorce. Sometimes it's an opening to something even better. There's an old saying that goes, when one door shuts, another door opens. And so people need to be open to receive what comes from that other door from both expected and unexpected sources, because we've been taught through the conditioning process of our society that things can only come via predetermined channels, and that is not true. The hand of God can come out of the sky and give you miracles and magic, and it's happened to me so many times in my life that I can speak confidently about all of that. And so a person who is going to be integrating intention into their life when they've got issues with loss and so forth, why, they can begin to test the process just by making small intentions. And after they make they see them manifest, and you make more intentions. You see them manifest, and pretty soon you're starting to get the things you want in your life again. And nowadays, intentions are manifesting pretty quick. In the old days, 30 years ago when I first started with this, the times were different, and you could make an intention, be drumming your fingers, wondering, when is this going to come to me? And nowadays, you make an intention, walk out the back door, and practically trip over whatever it is you were intending to manifest. So it's interesting times, and if a person will just give intention a chance and just make some intentions around what it is they really want. And that's what they've got to get used to. They've got to realize that you can have what you want. You know, so many, you know, the suffering and the pain is related to loss, you know, and loss will have us drowning in self-pity, and it will, which is the worst place we can go. And it'll have us, and the core behind the self-pity is fear. And so fear is what is behind a whole lot of the suffering. And people are thinking, oh, gosh, I've had a divorce. Now nobody will want me. Now I've got to live out the rest of my life alone. Oh, and they're going through all those fears, which will manifest if they put enough attention on them, you see. So we recommend that a person, you know, finds the positive side of whatever it is they want, you know, and don't hold back, you know. And in the meantime, while you're waiting for yourself to bounce back, you know, crying is good, laughing is good, and there's a saying from the I Ching, the oldest book on the planet, it furthers one to have something to do. So it furthers one to have something to do. Find something to do. Find something you always wanted to do, and immerse yourself in it, and you'll find that all the right people and the resources and everything you need to have that take that pain and that suffering out of your life, it'll just manifest. Everything will get better for you.
Wow, that's really neat. Well, how would you, you know, you have the code, the 10 intentions for a better world. When I read that, I always feel so uplifted. And even in this process, can you share how somebody could utilize that as they're struggling?
Absolutely. The code, first of all, it's 10 intentions. They all start with S. The first intent is support life. The second, seek truth. Set your course, simplify, stay positive, synchronize, serve others, shine your light, share your vision, and synergize are the 10 intents. And then there's a little phrase after each one. And this code, it's a free download on intenders.com. And you can download it and print it up and put it on your fridge or your wall somewhere and say this code once a day. And it's like the Intenders' greatest hits, really. The code is, it's if you don't know what to intend and you're not quite sure how to word intentions and you really want your life to change for the better, get a copy of the code, 10 Intentions for a Better World, and this poster, again, free download on intenders.com and several of our websites. And just say it once in the morning, and it'll work its way into your life like magic, and all of a sudden things will begin to turn around for you.
I think we started talking about before about your intender circles. Will you tell them about your intender circle and how it works and maybe how they can find out if there's one around where they live?
Gladly. The intender circles, we found that when people get together and under the umbrella of the highest good, in other words, when they all say that in order for our intentions to manifest, that they must serve the highest and best good of the universe, themselves, and everyone everywhere, that it's real easy to support and align with others in the manifesting of their intentions. So the being in a circle with others who are supporting you and seeing your intentions and being like a cheerleader for you in the manifest and keeping an eye out for the things that you're intending and so forth, everybody's becomes like a team in an intender circle, wanting and really desiring everybody else's intentions to manifest for them. And so these intender circles, you can just start one of your own. We've got a package that helps a person get their friends together, and there's a wealth of free information on our websites, intenders.com and highestlighthouse.com. And nowadays what we've done is there's a directory on there, so you can find out if we know if there's an intention circle in your area, then we'll put it in the directory. And sometimes we don't know, though. So
You just sort of have to intend it. You intend that you come up with a, you find a circle, or you meet some other people who want to start a circle and sit around one evening a week or every couple weeks and put their gratitudes and their intentions in a circle. And that's really all there is to it. And there's a format for it. It's all free. It's on the websites. And nowadays, when we found that when people can't find a circle in their area, we have just recently started these things called Intender Cyber Circles, Intender's Manifesting Cyber Circles. And so we found that Google Hangouts, the Google Plus format, they've got a free video conferencing interface there, where 10 of us can be in a circle and share our intentions and gratitudes and align it all with the highest good. And you know what, Dottie? These things are just wonderful. We are having the time of our lives and meeting people and really feel like a team, and a family spirit has begun to develop in some of these circles that we've just started. And even over the 3-4 weeks that we just started these, you can feel the camaraderie in the circle. And it's like an intender circle is... it's like a call to the soul group, quite frankly, because we did indeed make agreements and arrangements long ago to come into this most poignant time in history to do something very special together. And so there is this thing that the soul group, we made these agreements before we came into these bodies, before we came into this world, to come together. And any time that you get people together under that umbrella of the highest good, it does call forth the soul group. And so if you want to find out who the people are that you made your agreements with before you stepped into this lifetime, why, you can jump into an Intender Circle or an Intender Cyber Circle. You can get on the list for us by writing pam@intenders.com, and she'll put you on a list there, and we'll get you in an Intender Cyber Circle if there isn't one on the directory on the .com page. So that's how you do it. You just come together, because, you know, we've been separated every which way, and it's time for us to begin to come back together in community. And so it's these Intender Circles and these Intender Cyber Circles are a beautiful format for bringing people together in conscious, empowering, uplifting community.
Right, and at times like this, when you're feeling alone and kind of like what you said, all the fear behind there, it's such a support. And just like, you know, when you're focused on your highest and greatest good, you don't have to get in that fear mode of, you know, being judged or whatever. And so, yeah, you offer so many different resources and tools for people to help move them to creating the life they want. You also tell them about your messages that you send out. I know all this, y'all, because I receive everything that he's got. I've read all his books. And just because that's the kind of world I want to stay in. I want to keep my world, you know, focused on the positive, as he keeps saying. So tell us about the messages that come out.
Sure. We have two different free email message programs. The first is called the Intender's Bridge Messages, and these are a course in self-empowerment. And you get a bridge message every other day. I think for the first 44 days you get one every day, and then after that there's about 100 more messages that come every other day or so. And these are designed to lift you up and out of whatever you're going through and to have you step into your power. And before I forget, I want to say one more thing. For those of you who are out there listening right now, I have an intention that I use all the time, and I want to share it with you now. And I've seen this particular intention help people in all sorts of situations. And the intention goes like this. I intend that I am clearly shown my next step in life. I intend that I'm clearly shown my next step in life. And if a person does that and says that intention in the morning, then they just might as well be open to receive after that. Good things are going to barrel down upon them like a freight train. And so all they have to do is be alert and open for something wonderful to happen. And of course, a lot of these bridge messages are geared to helping a person get what they want in life. In fact, the Bridge Messages were published by Viva Editions here recently into a wonderful book. They did a beautiful job of putting them together. And the book is called Get What You Want, The Art of Making and Manifesting Your Intentions. And you can get all my books on intenders.com. And we appreciate it when you do come to our website and get them from us. And the second set of messages we have are called the Vision Alignment Project. And we found over 20 years of sitting in these intender circles and making and manifesting our intentions that the key to manifesting, I hinted at it earlier, is to see it as a done deal. In other words, picture the end result in your mind from the very beginning and hold that vision until it comes to you in 3D. And so in doing so, we found that if you envision your ideal, that is the best thing you can be doing. Just hold that vision of your ideal. And there's the ninth intent of the code is share your vision. I create my ideal world by envisioning it and telling others about it. I share my vision. And so these vision alignment messages that come out every other day, and again, it's a free program, they are visions that either I have written or people who sent in visions once they saw what I was doing. They started sending in all sorts of visions to us of their ideal world. And we send these out, and they're extremely uplifting. And then we put a big green, yes, I align with this button underneath the vision, and a person can align with that vision by make it their vision by hitting the yes button. And in doing so, they are actively and consciously contributing to the creation of that vision. And it turned out that it's a way for people to make a difference when they didn't know any other way they could make a difference in the world. If they align with these visions, they can actually add to them. And so when they hit that yes button, it goes to a hit counter and shows you how many people have aligned with the visions. And we're just over 1,200,000 alignments now on these visions. And so they're extremely uplifting, and they are not only my own, but other people's ideals for the kind of world we can have. And we can have an abundant, wondrous, happy, healthy, joyous, playful world. It is possible. It is all there for us. All we've got to do is believe it.
Yeah, and align. Yeah, I just love your messages because it does. It helps you refocus. And for any of our listeners that aren't used to doing intentions, as you read, you know, they tell you little stories on them, and then at the bottom it gives you the intention, so it can show you exactly, you know, how an intention looks. And it also gives you some hope because you just see, you know, like Tony's saying, you know, you just, it's just uplifting, and you can see possibilities and what feels right to you. And, you know, as you see that Vision Alignment Project, you know, there's so many different issues there that you just kind of like, oh, yeah, that one's great. And I do love to see them and kind of, you know, when you push the button and go, wow, that's a lot of people. That's fabulous, you know, that are all aligned and kind of helping to make this a better world, as your code says. Well, Tony, let me say that for any of our listeners, Tony would like to take some questions if you're open. You know, if you all have any questions, and if you're on the phone, press *2. And if you're on the webcast, then just fill in your questions at the bottom in the box, and we'll do that. We'll share that. While we're waiting for them to write a question, Tony, tell us about your new book. You started saying something about it, and kind of give us an overview, and what are the, you know, topics that are you've explored in there.
Oh, it's just an overview would be everything that we have learned in order to become proficient at manifesting. In other words, we realized early on that one of the things that it was wise for us to do, if we've got a body here on planet Earth in these times, is to get proficient at manifesting. In other words, get good at getting that which we desire to come to us as easily and effortlessly as possible. Because if we don't do that, we remain at the mercy of people and forces outside ourselves who may not care about us in the least. So to get good at getting the things we want to come to us. And that's what the book is all about. It's completely designed to help a person get proficient at manifesting, and at the same time to help them come together in community with others and line up with this thing we call the highest good. Because more and more people now are, with what the changes that are going on in the world, are becoming somewhat disenchanted with the mainstream belief systems, the consensus reality, the status quo, whatever you want to call it. And they're looking for something that will bring them up and out of whatever it is they're going through. And this particular book is designed to do that, designed to help them step into their own power. It's a wondrous read, and it's set up in terms of a thing called bibliomancy. In the foreword, I talked to you about bibliomancy, which is book magic. And in other words, you can just open it to any page, and it'll tell you what you need to know in the minute. And we can we've just done this 1,000 times, so we know it works.
It's kind of like that's the message I needed today, and just like what you were saying, be open and just allow things to come to you.
Yes, indeed.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I started to say it's a magical world. It's an awesome, very abundant, very mysterious world, and we've been sort of taught that it's only things only can come to us divine. In certain ways, and that this is the only reality. This consensus reality is the only reality there is, and nothing could be further from the truth. Once we begin to open ourselves to the vastness and the wonders of all there are around us, then magic and miracles begin to reveal themselves to us in our daily lives.
Wow. How about, I don't have any questions from our listeners, so do you have some closing words?
Go ahead.
Pardon?
Yeah, I want to say something else, too, that just came to mind. You know, we were talking about the things that a person who's going through the suffering of a loss in their lives to deal with, and there's a couple of things I want to bring up, and I was saying that crying is good, and it is. To not hold the emotional charge back in, but get the charge out, and screaming into your pillow if you're in a crowded area, or finding something exciting and interesting to do, something you always wanted to do. And there's one other thing that'll really help a person who wants to get through the suffering and pain of a divorce or a loss of some, and it has to do with just getting out in nature. Nature is the great healer. Take a walk in the woods. Get out of town. Get away from all the traffic and all the noise and all the other people and all the vibes and so forth, and get your feet in the creek, you know, or just take a hike, or go sit by the lake, or go up to the mountains. You'll find it's extremely refreshing, rejuvenating. You'll feel renewed. Nature is the great renewer. And so I highly recommend that people, if they're going through these kind of situations, that they spend much more time in nature. And then there's a lot of what's going on in terms of going through the pain and suffering is a lot of it boils down to fear. In other words, a lot of the suffering that people are going through has to do, at the bottom line, the core of it, is they're afraid of something. And fear is always related to loss. And there is the best thing I ever ran into on fear came out of the Dune books, the probably the greatest science fiction books in our lifetimes, written by Frank Herbert. And there was a sisterhood in the Dune books called the Bene Gesserit, and they were the power behind everything going on. The sisters of this group, and they had a thing they called the Litany Against Fear, and it goes like this. And whenever I'm dealing with fear in my life, I remember this, and I don't have it written down, so I'll have to come off the top of my head with it. But it's I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that totally obliterates. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over and through me. And when it has gone by, I will turn my inner eye to its path to see where it has gone. And there will be nothing. Only I will remain.
Wow. That is powerful. And that really is what fear is.
You can all do books.
Wow.
Yeah, you can find a secondhand bookshop will have any one of the early Dune books. It's in all of them.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Tony. I really, personally, really am excited that you spent this time with us also. And I appreciate the inspiring words that you've given our listeners so that they can feel like they can really create the life they want and that they have that within us. To be able to do that. And I appreciate all the resources that you've shared that offer some direction for them to be able to step into the next chapter of their lives. So thank you so much for being here, and I appreciate you being a speaker with us.
It's been my
honor.
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, listeners, that you can hear Tony's replay for the next 48 hours for free, and you can have all the speakers' interviews plus the 15 gifts if you go to bonus.livingfreefromdivorce.com. Tomorrow, we'll have CEO and founder of the D-Spot, Laura Campbell. And I ask you, are you ready for a summer you'll never forget? And to enjoy the creation of life and love that comes next to you. So we will have Laura Campbell with us tomorrow. I hope that you'll join us tomorrow at noon Pacific time. And the closing affirmation for today is the smallest change in perspective can transform a life. What tiny attitude adjustment might turn your world around? And that's from Oprah. Thank you so much for joining us and appreciate your time. Thanks.